You are Locked On Buckeyes, your daily podcast on the Ohio State Buckeyes. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up, Buckeyes fans? Welcome back to the episode of the Locked On Buckeyes for the Locked On Podcast Network. I am your host, Jay Stevens, also the host of the Jay Stevens Podcast. And today's episode is brought to you by Rock Auto. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit rockauto.com and tell them Locked On sent you. It is Thursday, March 25th in the year 2021. And as the spring game gets closer, many of you are wondering, will you be able to be in the shoe for the spring game? Well, there was some news that recently came out that says that might be a possibility. As always, you can follow me on Twitter at JStevens07. You can also follow the podcast on Twitter as well at Locked On Buckeye. Lined up for today in segments 2 and 3, we start a two-part, two-day series on your review or kind of a reality check for some people inside the basketball program. Today's all about the players. We begin today's show talking about that very thing that I mentioned about 15 to 20 seconds ago, about the possibility that you or I, or all of us listening to this podcast today, can be in the shoe for the spring game. The fact that nobody, well, most people, majority of people, were not able to go to any Big Ten football games this season, including the Big Ten championship game, it was really not comfortable for me to watch and stomach. I'm just being honest with you. As a football fan, as you know, as a sports fan, as you know, we all enjoy live sports, not just watching them on the TV screen, but also being able to attend them in person, either by yourself, primarily with people that you know, people, a group of people you may get invited to with a group of people, say, hey, I know somebody you know invites you. Hey, some of us are going to this Cavs game. Come with us. Okay, great. Going as a group. But this year, Very odd. Kind of expected at times that they would be very stringent and be very tight as far as the protocol and who can attend and who cannot attend. Just being honest with you, it was really, really odd to watch the game and see the game and mentally know that sound that I'm hearing, that's piped in crowd noise. That's artificial crowd noise. Yeah, that was recorded, but that's not something that happened that was recorded during that game there. Previously, crowd noise. Oh, let's pipe it in there and make it seem more normal. But we all knew that wasn't normal. Not at all. But hey, the spring game didn't have one last year, having one this year. And it would be amazing if you or I, or like I said, everybody listening to this podcast right now is able to go. Well, recently the Big Ten changed their own ruling and how they're going to govern the athletic facilities that fall under, fall at Big Ten schools. The Big Ten says we're going to back off right after the Big Ten tournament is over, not immediately after, but after the Big Ten conference tournaments are over, men's and women's, we're going to back away. Say local officials, you govern your local areas. I'm going to say that again. It's kind of comical. The Big Ten says local areas, you can govern your local areas as far as who could go to Big Ten athletic events. Does that seem odd to you? Seems kind of odd to me that they wouldn't let the local areas govern their local areas. But when the Big Ten came out and said they're backing away, of course, Ohio State made a statement. And via their statement, people like myself, I always try to be very optimistic. My optimism, my smile, my excitement, it rose. It got high. Why? Because it's very, very possible that you and I can possibly go to the spring game. Not saying yes, not saying no, but it's possible. Anytime something might change for the better, yeah, I'm going to be very, very happy. This is the official statement that came from the Ohio State Department of Athletics on March 24th, 2021. Quote, in response to the Big Ten Conference announcement today regarding attendance policies at home athletic events for its member schools, the Ohio State Department of Athletics will work internally and with Columbus Public Health to formalize appropriate attendance figures, mapping, and social distancing within our athletic venues and facilities. Once we have determined the attendance in our venues beyond the current protocols of only family members of student athletes and coaches, we will share that information. We do not anticipate any changes in our attendance policies before this weekend's athletic events on campus, end quote. I'm not saying no. I'm not saying yes. But based off the Big Ten allowing, once again, local areas to govern their local areas as far as who can attend games in those local areas, and Ohio State making that statement right there, it's possible. One thing I love about the fall, oh my gosh, is going to football games. I love them. From Friday Night Lights to college football Saturdays or even NFL on Sundays, I love going to games. I do a lot of watching games at home on TV, but there's nothing at all like going, sitting down in a stadium with maybe 50 or 60, if you're at Ohio State, 100,000 of your closest friends, and you are cheering loudly. Some of you even boo at the referees or boo bad plays or boo bad coaching calls, but you love every second of it. Maybe not the bad parts, but you just enjoy being there. And if, just if, on April 17th at Ohio Stadium, the Horseshoe as they call it, you or I or so many other people, maybe everybody listening to this podcast today, is able to go to the Shoe for the spring game, oh my, it's going to make me happy, it's going to make you happy, it's going to make so many people happy, because a part of us, a place that we frequent so much, we're able to go to again. I'm not saying yes, fans can go. But hey, it's a possibility. I think that possibility might become a reality very, very soon. We'll step away very quickly when we come back. We'll start part one of a two-day series, two-part series on year in review. Today, we're reviewing and discussing the play of the basketball players this season. But first, check this out. RockAuto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The RockAuto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose brands, specifications, and prices you prefer. Best of all, prices at RockAuto.com are always reliably low and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Go to RockAuto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Right, locked on in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. Get all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes with the new Locked On Today podcast. Host Peter Bukowski updates you on the latest news in every major sport with the help of our local experts. Follow the Locked On Today podcast wherever you get your podcast. If this is your first time listening to Locked On Buckeyes or even watching Locked On Buckeyes, I want to say welcome. Or if it's your first time in a long time watching or listening to the podcast, I want to say welcome back. Locked On Buckeyes drops a fresh new episode for you every Monday through Friday. So make sure you subscribe or follow to Locked On Buckeyes so you don't miss a beat. The basketball team, your Ohio State Buckeyes, finished the season 21-10, 12-8 in conference, fifth place in the Big Ten Conference in the regular season. They were runners-up in the Big Ten Conference tournament. And unfortunately, they were one of the first teams out of this year's NCAA tournament after a close overtime defeat or loss to the Oral Roberts Golden Eagles. One of the only comforting things about losing in the first round, which is never anything comforting, but about losing to Oral Roberts, Oral Roberts is a mid-major, a two-headed monster, the law firm of Ace Smith and O'Banner, and they are still playing in this year's NCAA tournament. Yes, I am rooting for them to go far. I absolutely am. You beat a team like Ohio State, play the way that they did from start to finish. Those two guys have not come off the court in this year's NCAA tournament. I am all in on the Golden Eagles. Maybe you are as well. But from the beginning of the year to where we are now, there's a lot of positives and some negatives based off the play of some people. Think about before the season even started. Abel Porter transfers in. He was told he is not medically clear to play, so he does not play a single lick of basketball for Ohio State. Remember that time early on in my tenure here being the host of this podcast? Abel Porter can't play, so what happens? Ohio State reaches out to who? Meechie Johnson. Realizes, hey, he can graduate early. He can come to Ohio State early. Let's talk to his parents. And let's see if they're A-OK with that. And let's see, honestly, not just the parents, if Mr. Meechie Johnson is comfortable leaving high school as a 17-year-old and then coming to Ohio State early, forsaking the rest of his senior year and everything else that goes into that last year of high school. Meechie Johnson comes into the basketball team and I think he enrolls first practice December 10th or 11th, plays his first game in January. Didn't get much run, but in a year where you don't lose anything, you don't lose a year of eligibility, it kind of worked out. He wasn't the only person in the Big Ten that that graduated early and then enrolled early in what would have been their senior year. Young man from Indiana University, I forget his last name, but he did the same thing as well. So you had Abel Porter not being able to play. And early in the season, we saw the Buckeyes struggle to move the ball on offense against a 2-3 zone against mid-major teams. And I was kind of curious as I was watching basketball, how would that progress from back then to now? How in the world would the Ohio State basketball team improve with a 2-3 zone, give them fits all year long? Or would it be that they would overcome it, find ways to get around it, flash somebody to the high post, and, well, just kill any 2-3 zone that they play? But we did see early on, this team could be good. This team could be a decent basketball team. I mean, I'm not just trying to make that up. We saw early on, this team could be a decent basketball team. They did have a ranking as high as number 4 in this year and this year via the AP poll, which that's amazing. And I know coming into it, I was hot on the team, very curious about how they would go. They did start the season 5-0, beating teams Illinois State, Massachusetts Lowell, Morehead State. They went on the road at Notre Dame. They beat Cleveland State at home. And then they did lose their first Big Ten conference game against Purdue. That was on the road at Mackey Arena. Come back after that. You win a neutral site game that was in Ohio, I believe in Cleveland, over UCLA, who also is still in the tournament that you also have. Then you come back next week or the next game, come back win over the Rutgers Scarlet Knights. And Ohio State from the beginning of the season to the end of the season, preseason poll ranked number 23. You did go to number 20 on the 14th, back to number 23rd on the 21st, 25th team in the country on the 28th, bounced back out of the top 25. And once you got 1 week outside of the top 25 via the AP poll, and you have been in it ever since. Ohio State's play this year, at times it was amazing. At times, it looked like nobody could beat them. I won't say nobody. It would be hard to beat them. At times, you watch Ohio State play, and yes, you know the early season, yet you know the transfers. You got Justice Suing. You have so many guys that are transferring in. You know, you had the youngsters. You know the lack of size. You know the leadership of Kyle Young and C.J. Walker. You know the emergence, or you witnessed the emergence of E. J. Liddell. A couple of questions I had going into the season. Who would fill the role down low, and who would be the leader? Well, we saw numerous leaders, numerous guys step up. You saw E.J. Liddell step up a little bit. You saw C.J. Walker step up a little bit. You saw Kyle Young step up a little bit. Think about it when C.J. Walker went down, you insert Justin Arnes, I believe a transfer in to Ohio State, and Dwayne Washington Jr., Justice Suing, transfer. They have to take on more of a ball-handling role in this team, with this team. And we saw them tackle this, didn't back away from the challenge, and they went forward full tilt every single time. And in that little sequence, C.J. Walker goes down, C.J. Walker comes back, his maturity, as Adam Jardy mentioned of the Columbus Dispatch a couple weeks ago, C.J. Walker says, Coach, let them run. Let them keep going. They got a groove going. They got a flow going. I'll come off the bench. And it worked out so, so well. Never want to see a guy come down with an injury ever. But if he does come down with an injury, if he's mature enough to understand what the team is doing and back away and let those starters run, I really wonder, instant thought, how the team would have been if C.J. Walker didn't take that role and come back. Would the team have been better? Would the team have been worse? I don't know. That's just one of those questions that you will never have an answer to. You're able to speculate and say, ooh, that could have been a lot better. Ooh, if he came back in, that four-game losing streak at the end of the season could have been at the middle of the season. We'll look at this team a whole lot different than we do. Lack of size. Not having a college basketball lead guard, as I call them, on this team. You have guys that play physical. You have guys that are versatile. Kyle Young missed him greatly. Oh, my goodness. Missed him when he was not playing the basketball down the stretch. Had one concussion. Came back. Had another one. Not fun. Had a lot of transfers on this team. I think four or five guys transferred different offseasons, so they weren't acclimated into the team. But as you watch the basketball, that talk of transfers, that was kind of out the window. That talk of guys not really playing their role because they're new to the team, that went out the window. Only real storyline that prevailed from beginning to the end of the season was Michi Johnson, probably because he's 17 years old, and he was an easy comment for broadcasters to make while broadcasting games, especially those that didn't broadcast many Ohio State basketball games. We saw improvement from quite a few people. We saw some people at the same time make crucial mistakes during crucial points in time. Now is a great time for us to back away very quickly. This year in review is going to go very quickly, as you can tell. The basketball team, the basketball season was fun to watch, very enjoyable. Had ups, it had downs. We're going to talk about those ups and downs to close out this show. But first, check this out. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football might be over, but NBA, college basketball, and even the NHL are in full swing. BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. Real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's even free to sign up. Head to betonline.ag on your computer or your mobile device. And when you sign up, make sure you use promo code LOCKEDON. That is LOCKEDON to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Once again, head to betonline.ag on your computer or your mobile device. And when you do, when you sign up, make sure you use promo code LOCKEDON to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sports book experts. We have been telling you all year long about Built Bar, the best tasting protein bar on the market for a while now. Built Bar is the amazing low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber, amazing tasting protein bar with 100% chocolate on all bars. Now is the time to find out which Built Bar is the best. It is Built Bar Madness. Today's matchup is mint brownie versus coconut puff. Built Bar's coconut is one of the best tasting coconuts I've had in a long time, outside of actually a real true live coconut. But also you got the mint brownie combination, concoction, get in the lab, mix it together. I myself am kind of torn about this one. And normally Built Bar's coconut gets the nod when it's this close, so I'm trying to pick one taste or another. Go to BuiltBar.com or to @bar_built on Twitter. Remember to use promo code LOCKED15, that's LOCKED15, to get 15% off your next order. That is LOCKED15 to get 15% off your next order at BuiltBar.com. And check back to see who won today's matchup and who will become the best tasting protein bar. Are you ready for the NFL draft? Join Locked On NFL Draft host Travis Sekema and Benjamin Solak as they give you their latest positional rankings and analysis on 2021 draft prospects with team-centric guest mocks right around the corner. Follow the Locked On NFL Draft podcast on the radio.com app or wherever you get your podcast. As we wrap up today's show, I want to remind you to come back tomorrow. Today is part one. Tomorrow is part two. Today in the year in review, we're having a part one. Today's about the players. Tomorrow's year in review is about the coaching staff or even Chris Holtmann himself. Primarily all about the head man in charge. Ohio State Buckeyes. When I think about the basketball team, I'm going to stick on one player only to start this discussion off as we wrap up today's show. Mr. E.J. Liddell. Ironically, as much as a focus on this basketball team that he was this year, he was the second leading scorer on the team via production. You might not have expected that, but E.J. Liddell averaged 16.2 points a game, 6.7 rebounds a game, 1.8 assists per game, and there were so many times down the stretch. You're relying on E.J. Liddell to just be that dude, to be that guy. Need a basket? Go to E.J. Need somebody to run the offense through? Go to E.J. 2-3 zone, high post? Need somebody to run the high post at the free throw line? Who is it going to be? Kyle Young or E.J.? So much you can do with E.J. Liddell, and one thing that stood out to me was his progression, and that he did not back down from a challenge. One thing I think we were also reminded of at the end of the season, he is only a sophomore. Think back to his freshman year. Did you expect this type of jump from one year to the next? Did you expect this type of jump from year one to year two? Freshman to sophomore year. If you're honest with yourself, just like I'm going to be honest with myself, I wasn't expecting this at all. I wasn't at all. And I think E.J. Liddell can learn from this and improve from this. I know there's talks, will he possibly go to the NBA or go professionally? I don't think he's ready. He's getting closer, but I don't think he's ready for that level of basketball. I was expecting him to stay no matter what. Hearing discussions, will he stay or will he go? I think he should stay, possibly go after next year. Somebody else who improved drastically. I've been hard on him all year long, but he showed me down the stretch that he was growing up and maturing right in front of our eyes. He's also the leading scorer on this year's Ohio State Buckeye basketball team. I call him Junior for short. His name, Dwayne Washington Jr. 6.4 points a game, 3.4 rebounds a game, 2.9 assists a game. And remember how I mentioned how when C.J. Walker went down, how Dwayne Washington Jr. had to take on more of a ball-handling role and how he had needed to be more of a leader vocally on the court. And Chris Holtmann really relied on him with the backcourt to say, hey, man, look, I know our point guard's down. I need you to step up. I need you to play better. I need you to be bigger and better as a basketball player right now. And what did Junior do? He didn't back down. We saw growing pains right in front of us as soon as C.J. Walker went down. But down the stretch, you could rely on him for big shot after big shot after big shot. Another thing you could realize with him is that in big games against his rival, when he needed a bucket, Michigan, first game, career high, 30 points. Big Ten Conference Tournament, I forget if it was Michigan or Illinois, 32 points. I think he had 92 points or 90 plus points in the Big Ten Conference Tournament, which is a record for that tournament from any player during that time period. And this goes back to, I believe, the late 90s when the Big Ten finally decided to have a conference tournament. They were one of the last conferences to the party, them and the Pac-12, I think Pac-10 back then, were two of the last conferences to come back and to join the party as far as having a conference tournament in basketball at the end of the season. Justice Suing, my goodness. We witnessed so much from him as far as physicality, offensive rebounding, being tough on the glass offensively and defensively, putbacks, tip dunks, and Justice Suing on the season, 10.7 points a game, 5.5 rebounds a game, 1.5 assists a game, and he is someone that next year will not just be a starter, but he might be someone that you rely on, say, hey, average 10 points. We know you can score a little bit. Average 12, average 13, 13.5 points a game. E.J. Liddell lifts his points, its average, to 18. Let's say Junior averages 18. Not saying it's going to happen. That's a big jump for all three players from where they played this year. But there's a lot of talent coming back for next season. Now, yes, I am assuming E.J. Liddell comes back. One guy who I do not believe is coming back is CJ Walker. 9.5 points a game, 3.2 rebounds a game, 4.4 assists a game. A straight leader, a straight dog. There was a game down the stretch. I forget who it was, but he was in the zone. And I remember I talked about it here on the podcast when CJ Walker, he was feeling it that one game. He rolled. I could tell there was something different with him in that game. He grows up for a jump shot, a three, and it was so smooth. Wasn't his slow man, old man, or very slow pace. I won't say old man. Very slow pace jump shot that he does, and he rises up lefty and shoots the ball. CJ Walker, man, that leadership from when he was not playing, when he was playing, when he got hurt, when he came back off the bench, or started, whatever Chris Holtmann needed him to do as far as his role, he tackled it. Every time. You may have wanted him. Some of you may have wanted CJ Walker to be more of a controller or more of a scorer. That's not his game. And he played his role very, very well. Kyle Young going to miss him a lot. He still could come back. But if he does not, going to miss his tenacity, going to miss his physicality, going to miss everything he brought to the game, brought to the team. Two guys that stood out to, well, one guy that stood out to me, can't get through all the players. Zed Key, my gosh. You guys have heard me all year long rant and rave about Zed Key and what I think he can be down the road. 5.2 points a game, 3.4 rebounds a game, 0.3 assists a game. Not next year, possibly the year after, you may see Zed Key average a double-double. 6'8", 245 pound, and yes, he still has a frame. He has a lot of muscle to build on his frame. Get some of that kitty fat or baby fat off of him. Put some muscle on. Watch out next year. Watch out next year. I'm thinking year three as a junior. Zed Key will take a next step and be, we'll take another step next year, but he'll take an even bigger step the year after. And man, be somebody that you can trust. There's a couple guys, or one guy that I want to see what he'll be next year. That's Ibrahima Diallo. He was hurt all year long, played a few games, saw him play, I believe, in the Big Ten Conference Tournament. 6'10", that height would have been amazing. But when you have nursing an injury, recovering, that's a lot that goes into coming back from that type of injury. So many players you didn't get to. Who did you like? Who stepped up for you? Who was big? Who was a little bit down? Message me on Twitter at jstevens07. The direct messages, the DMs are always open. Email me, jstevens317@gmail.com. Send the emails to me as well. I would love to hear your feedback. Send them in the comments. Comment section on Apple. You want to get some feedback and help the show grow at the same time? Leave those comments or questions right there in the Apple review section. I'll read them, bring them here on the podcast. We can help each other as we help each other. Guys, this has been fun. We'll do some more players tomorrow. We'll do a lot about Chris Holtmann tomorrow. Tomorrow's really going to be more of a reality check for Chris Holtmann, the coaching staff, a lot of things that have been going through my mind over the past couple months. I'm just going to dump them out tomorrow on the podcast. We're going to have a lot of fun. We're going to have, trust me, a reality check. Very, very opinionated show tomorrow. Come back tomorrow. We'll have fun and feel good on a Feel Good Friday, the last day before the Sweet 16 starts. The tournament resumes, but the Sweet 16 gets started on Saturday afternoon.